I travel somewhere trying to keep up with everything, you know, but they got to sometime hand me a piece of paper and tell me this is what's going on. I want to recommend this book of an Apostle John Eckhart. One of my daughters turned it on to me. Prayers that rout demon and break curses. Prayers that rout demons and break curses. John Eckhart. He has another book out called A Blessing. He's one of the first apostles I read behind. Very thorough, and it'll be a blessing to you when you talk about ministry. It'll be a real blessing to you. A great lesson is given in the 83rd Psalm for you to read sometime. I'm not going to read it. I read it through his revelation of how God will deal with the enemy on your behalf. Go ahead and sit down, class. One of the things there's three or four things that I want to really climax with tonight for you to have insight upon, which is miracles, signs, wonders, healing, and how to powerfully deal with the enemy. Demonic power. That was the evidence of Jesus' ministry. That's your credentials. And as I meditated to a large degree of 40-some years of ministry, ministries and ministers and the body of Christ have almost, can say, been spiritually raped along those lines by letting emotion take the place of experience, really defeat the enemy, really having real miracles, real signs, real wonders. And as a minister of the gospel, you have to know the difference between miracles, signs, and wonders. They're not the same. They're serving the same purpose, but each one is distinctive within itself. Okay? So that's one of the things I want you to get out of this class tonight. Some of you all will be somebody going to graduate, right? Junior, somebody graduating, right? Yes, it's my last time talking to some people in this class. Yeah, yes, yeah, all right. So let's start taking notes about miracles, signs, wonders, and casting out demons. Now, Satan will deceive you in all of these. He has counterfeits. You remember when Moses dropped his rod? The magician dropped his rod? Okay, so we must not be ignorant of Satan's devices, but each one of these are so important. And we start off talking about the Bible is a book full of miracles, signs and wonders from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Full of miracles. I mean, this is just our credentials. This is just what we need to, we got to know about it. Not, we got to know how it functions. And the reason the Bible is full of miracles, signs, and wonders, and the reason we have to know how to deal with demons is because we're fighting a kingdom of darkness that is very crafty and very slick. It is an account of the most important event realized by a supernatural God. See, miracles, signs, and wonders, and having authority over satanic power is a revelation of a supernatural God. We've been talking to you about the supernatural, you know. There's no such thing as having ministry without the supernatural. So let's see what Jesus says. Take a look at Jesus here. Jesus walked the earth. He was doing some things. He healing the sick. You know, if you read the gospel any time, he's constantly healing the sick. And he was performing all type of miracles as a clear sign of his deity. He was all God and all man. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm preaching along that line now in John 14:12. There are some secrets there in John 14, 12, in the 14th chapter of John, there are some very important secrets that are revealed there about the intimacy, about the credentials, or about the authority, how Jesus was picking up all this power. And he revealed to us he wasn't doing it. And that's where you got to really get in ministry. You have to stop depending on your ability. Sometimes you're not going to even feel like it. But it's not based on feeling. And then Jesus said he went from one, I was sharing with someone, he went from his relationship with the Father in the 14th chapter of John. He went from relationship with the Father. He went to believe me for the word's sake. Let me skip down now. He tell you what you got. You got the name of Jesus, and you got the Holy Spirit to help you do this type of work. This is spiritual work. But then I picked up this, and I said this, and you need to hear this. The works was the lowest form of his manifestation. See, the word, the way, was all above that. So he delegated believers to do the same, performing miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, this is very important. You know this, but I want to say it to you. In his name. In his name. See, if you can't clear his name, you can't go in that area. And so it is pointed out through ministry, the world need to see the resurrected Christ. They need to see it in us. You know, we got to stop faking. The one who lives and continues to perform miracles as a sign of his love. See, his miracle was based on his love for us. He knew we're dealing with an enemy, so we got to have to deal with satanic power. You need to know how to function in supernatural power. Hey, class, you heard that? To deal with satanic power, you need to know how to function. You need to know how to flow in supernatural strength that is given us by no other than the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, here's been the problem. Here's one of the reasons the Lord led me to start this school many, many years ago. There's a problem. The problem with religious Christianity, is its inability to bring Jesus into our presence, into the now. You see, I have a problem with preachers just telling stories, just giving Bible stories, going out what Daniel did. I understand what Daniel did. What is the revelation here? How can this become a present day fact to me? What did Daniel use? Let me see the inside of the scripture, not just the shell. Yeah, right. You follow what I'm saying? Yes, and when you're making a presentation, or when you're preaching the gospel, or teaching the gospel, or prophesying, you have to have some insight that the Holy Spirit have given you beyond the English dialect in order to have power. Yes, sir. To penetrate. Mm-hmm. To produce. Are you following me? Yes, and so we can talk about Acts 3 when the lame man got healed, and we talk about John 5 when the man got healed, and et cetera, et cetera. That's fine. But information stirs up emotion. Mm-hmm. Revelation activates your spirit. Yes, sir. Right. And so we as ministers have to activate people's spirit, not their emotion. People has to have a real experience with a power that is beyond you, beyond themselves. You follow what I'm saying? Yes, and the body of Christ is crying out loud now. She needs direction because everything else is moving. The church cannot stay in the same 30-year-old revelation. Right, right. And science and technology is moving like a bullet. Yes, and Satan is moving. And so it's saddening to see that the church does not know much about apostolic. Now, one of the things that held me afloat is it just dawned on me this morning. I was trained prophetically. I was trained by a prophet. So I knew how to move in the realm of the spirit from that training, you understand? So I could bring that over on my pastoral anointed in this church, all right? Now, I didn't mention something. Now, I want to mention these things. Miracles, signs, wonders, healing, and casting out demons. And that's about the top of the chart there. See, miracles, signs, wonders, healing, casting out demons. I say, class, that's the top of the chart. Yes, yeah, this is where we must function. We must flow. And this is how we win the fight. Yes, okay? Got to know how to yield the miracles, how to yield a sign, how to yield. We don't follow them. They follow us. Okay? And, you know, people don't want to talk about demons. And they'll say, let's have a nice little gospel meeting without talking about demons. What do you think the gospel is? The gospel is to destroy demons. So let's see what is healing. I'm going to define healing. I'm going to define miracles. I'm going to define signs. I'm going to define wonders because I want you to know what they are. What is healing? Healing is a legal right that belongs to the believer, both to receive and to impart to others. And now we're talking about divine healing, right? So put divine healing by there because I don't want to get it mixed up with no other kind. It's divine. It's supernatural healing. It's, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it that, it's spiritual healing, okay? Whatever it takes. You know, we got the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Won't y'all take that course? We're taking the course, the gifts of the Spirit? Nobody know? It's not in this school? The 12 manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, not, no? And that's the gifts of the Spirit, aren't it? That's one of the cool teacher class. Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 12. You got that in there? The 9? Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about. All right, now, healing, the Bible, if you look in your Bible, look in John, look in Luke 13, 32, because we're going to call it, want you to see, it's a divine cure. It's a cure. It's a divine curing, I'll say it like that, when it comes to the supernatural, when it comes from healing from the Lord Jesus in his name and according to the kingdom. It's a cure. And read it, Luke 13, 32, look what he says. Behold, I cast out demons and perform what? Cures today and tomorrow. Am I in the right scripture, Luke 13, 32? That scripture exists? Yes, do it have cures in there? Yes, why y'all didn't answer me? I'm saying something wrong? Huh? The B part. Well, let's read the whole doggone thing when I tell you. I told you the right voice, right? Yes, if I got you in the right voice, I'm not thinking about nothing else. You just catch it yourself. I had you in the right voice. You shouldn't, you ain't no little children no more. You've been in school long enough to read enough. I'm somewhere in the scripture. But I want you to see that word cure. And then even in medical terms, it's a specific, when you talk about a cure, it's a service rendered by one to another, a specific medical service. We're here in Luke 9:11 now. They followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. The Bible talks about he healed them all. Acts 10:38 is a powerful verse. You ought to know that verse, class, without even looking in the Bible. It's one of my favorite verses. Our God, none of Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost in power, went about doing good and what? How many?
All.
Now watch what it says next. Who or what?
Oppressed.
There you go. See? So sickness is satanic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if you're going to deal with healing people, bringing people to freedom from this bondage, you're going to have to know you're going to need the Holy Ghost. Now, the whole Trinity is in Acts 10:38. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost coming against demonic depression and oppression and satanic forces because all sickness comes from the devil. All right. Now, So we just touch on that healing. We'll get more about it in a moment. What is a miracle? What is a miracle? Miracles are manifestations of God's supernatural power. Manifestation of God's supernatural power. Number two, they are his visible, spontaneous, and sudden intervention in the normal course of people's lives. They are his visible, spontaneous, and sudden intervention in the normal course of people's lives. Now, when you go to the book of Acts, you see words sort of like suddenly, immediately, straightway. Mark talked about straightway, but straightway. In other words, done right now. It's a miracle. They also are known as this. And this is very important for you to know in any given moment that the Holy Spirit, my God, I feel the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will minister through you as a minister, as a child of God, especially the education that you're placing on your spirit. See, you're actually educating your spirit being in the school. Well, miracles, they are interruptions of the natural law of time, space, and matter. See, miracles interrupt those things. Miracles interrupt demonic forces. Miracles interrupt natural things, time, matter. It doesn't matter to miracles. Miracles change things supernaturally. Are you seeing that? And so the question is asked, what is the difference between a healing and a miracle? Number one, a miracle is an instrument, event that is evidence to the human senses. Healing, many times, is progressive. A miracle produces a change that goes beyond healing. Now, I'll make this statement. When I was studying this morning, just as I had impartation, I think we had 120 ministers on the line from all over the United States this morning. We actually have 140, and we had the other ones give us why they were not there. We usually have a good attendance at impartation. Humanity is crying out for a living God, a desire to connect with the invisible God and see him in action. I'm going to tell you that again now, because I want you to note that, and I want you to write that down, because this is what apostolically I'm aiming to turn out from the school. That's why the instructors are handpicked. I tell you the truth, they have to have my spirit. Every instructor in school have my anointing, have my spirit, and they have respect for me. That's the only way you can get a job like this done. Are you following me? Humanity is crying out, the church at large, for a living God, a desire to connect with the invisible God and to see him in action. I can stay right there, boy. I can park right there. See, it's so important. That's why these miracles, signs, wonders, healing is so important. That's why manifestation, visitation, manifestation, and demonstrations are so important. What you mean by visitation? Don't miss your visitation. When you pray and obey and ask God for something, he's going to visit you. And when he visits, he coming with a package that will put you in a position that you can't be stopped. Are you listening to me, Claire? Oh, what a joy it is.
Yes, sir.
See, ministry is not as dull as it had been made.
Right.
It is a divine journey.
Yes,
you could be in another dimension any minute when you're walking with God.
Yes, sir.
There should always be an expectation of the supernatural in ministry. Now there'll be a little grinding with your humanity, because your senses are going to try to kick in when you're dealing with something. But just be still and know that he's God. He'll never leave you. He'll never fail you. You just got to trust him. Now, the Apostle Paul, educated as he was and how many experiences he had, he still ministered in fear and trembling. I do too. When you lose that, you really have been hoodwinked. Because you need to have that reverential. Healing is progressing, all right? America produces a change that goes beyond healing. Humanity is crying out for a living God, a desire to connect with the invisible God and to see him in action. Education cannot take the place of a miracle. It will never eliminate or nullify the need for the supernatural. I don't care how smart they get, you still have a job. You called by God, they can get smart, they can build an institution, they can have things flying around the air and stop and talk to each other, whatever. They're still going to need a preacher of the gospel to cry out that Jesus is Lord. Those of you who have any kind of calling on your life in the fivefold ministry gift, and even the calling that is on believers, we should rejoice, because we always will be needed. A miracle performed in the name of Jesus is more valuable than a year of academic theories. Yeah, one miracle, wipe colleges out. You know. And we're not against the college, just stay in your place. I'm not against education. I got 2 doctor degrees myself, but just stay in your place, doctor degrees, and let the Holy Ghost fum over what he want to fum over and let me follow him close. Yeah. All right, what is a sign now? What is a sign? What is a sign? Bible told you, it is an indication of something about to take place. Mm-hmm. It's a sign. It is a demonstration of God's love or a seal that signifies that a person is distinguished or acknowledged. It's indication, it's a demonstration, it's a seal, sign. I know I'm saying things fast, but I got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Don't y'all get a chance to listen to it on the internet again? I'm going to have my fun tonight. I'm going on. A sign is a wondrous occurrence that takes place in an unusual way. One of the things I think I mentioned to the apostolic team I was training this morning, do not get grounded in the usual. When I come here, even for this class tonight, when I come here, I come looking for the unusual. Even though we go down the line, we got the same thing we do. I get up here, I'm not teaching. But I mean whatever he want to do. You see, you don't put God in, you can't, this class, this is his business. He can impart a gift to you while you're sitting here. I mean, many things could happen. You got to have your experience. Anytime you're dealing with God, in a book, and dealing with God, I mean, you know, things look routinely. But when revelation is rolling, nothing routinely. So it can be unusual. An unusual word can come in your spirit tonight and change your life forever in a setting like this. Are you following me? All right. So it's a wondrous occurrence that takes place in an unusual way. Now, listen very carefully now, because it'll come back to you. Which transcends the common course of the natural world. Transcends. The common course. I just said that in another way, unusual. Yes, sir. One of the apostles that I studied on, he talked about having unusual church. Right. I think it's Jonathan David. Unusual church. Now, God uses signs to verify those whom he has sent. Now, I'll knock you out your seat right now. You know one of the signs God used that he sent me? prosperity.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, he did. He do it every day. See? That's a sign. That he sent me with that message. So I don't just say it, you see it.
Yes.
Now the church world getting nervous, but it's just the way God, it's just the way God worked. God used signs to verify those whom he has sent.
Yes, sir.
As well as to prove that the cause they are defending come from him. I'm defending for you not to be broke. God had provided for you. And I catch hell about it. I get persecuted about it. But it don't make no difference. I got wings that fly over hell. Yeah. See, let me pause here a minute, because I stopped, well, I never did too much, but I don't make no excuses for prosperity. I don't make no excuses. If I get a green light, I just buy something. I don't make no excuse. These boys know all the time, boy, he always buying something. I ain't got no excuse for it. I ain't got no excuse for it. Signs glorify God and his son Jesus. Now, let's point this out. We must pay close attention to this point, because there's a great difference between recognizing the signs that follow us as believers and worshiping those signs. See? And prohibit our worship. God prohibits our worship of signs. See? Because signs and wonders, and sometimes we go to worshiping people because we see signs through them. But they're not doing it, it's God. Now, if you are in ministry, and let me see how can I say this, because for a long time in the body of Christ, there have been a lot of spiritual drought. The water haven't been flowing. A lot of good preaching, a lot of good teaching, but in the Western Hemisphere, over here where we're at Western, we haven't seen, I've been in some of the largest meetings, I've seen something, but I haven't seen it like it should. I've been in meeting 20,000 people in there, but I didn't see enough movement of God as I see now from the apostolic calling and rubbing shoulders with these apostles who've been seeing miracles for 35 years. You know, iron turning to bone, people leg, got a false leg, lay in the bed and get a real leg. You know, it almost, y'all could have tore the shirt up just now, but it's almost like y'all, say, what?
Yeah.
It's almost unbelievable. Because in the church, we have not seen anything. We sing three songs, somebody pray, somebody read, here come the preacher. And he going to talk a while, and somebody get happy and holler out, scream out loud. And then we had a great movement of God. Nobody got nothing supernatural but a good holler. And so I want this generation, I want you all to know that suddenly, immediately, and straightway is always there. Right now, suddenly, immediately, and straightway, standing over my shoulder right now, in this school.
Yes, sir.
Ready to do something to validate he sent me.
Yes, sir.
I can't validate myself.
Yes, sir.
Now, one of the problems is, and you're going to have to deal with this, is creating an expectation in the people of more than they've been receiving.
Yeah, right.
See, now, I know, well, I gave this experience ahead of time. I had to go through this the rough way. Some churches I can go to, just walk on out, power will come. Others, nothing happened. I got to get in my car, get in the plane, and come back home. Now, most of the churches I'm going to now, we're just flowing, because it's flowing. But I've seen that, so you better know, there are places you go where the people cannot expect.
Yes.
They don't know what to expect. They think you're doing something different. They think, oh, Lord, what is that?
Yeah, right.
Here are seven signs. You read these that prove that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 2:11, this beginning of signs, it says, look at it. I want you to open your Bible. Open your Bible up. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, call it a sign, and manifested his glory. And his disciple believed in him. Now, let's bring this to everyday ministry. Everyday ministry. Your ministry will be more fruitful if the Holy Spirit can do some things. If Jesus needed a sign, my God, in this dying, lying generation, we sure need some signs. So look at the verse. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. Now, you know, I taught you earlier, faith, the anointing, and the glory. We operate in faith, we operate in anointing, but then there's a point that the glory step in. We need to step back and yield and flow with it. Now, class, you don't know how valuable of all the trips you made down here to Down Road. Those three things, knowing how to operate in faith, the anointing, and how to yield to the glory. You don't know how important these things are. Take their heart. And here we have Jesus, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And the disciples believed in him. See, people believe when the glory is manifested. Yeah, people believe. Now, when you talk about manifest his glory, it's something happening beyond the sense realm. I'm still trying this church to expect our church, you know. Some of them still want the same song, and they want the same type of service, but they ain't getting it. I'm going to push them further. They're going further. They're going to know how to do miracles themselves. The purpose of these signs was to prove that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was capable of giving people eternal life. Along with the ability to understand spiritual truth. Let me go back over that now because I want you to get this. The purpose of these signs, number one, was to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, I know why you want me to go back over that. Listen, if you're going to operate in real ministry, you're going to have some proof. You're going to have some evidence that you ain't over your head. You understand that statement? That you ain't over your head, that you're not doing this. Okay. Because how am I going to witness about eternal life, and I don't understand miracle. Eternal life is the greatest miracle that ever happened. You know, change a person's destiny, change their inside, and then I can't heal a cat. Along with the ability to understand spiritual truth and to experience intimate communion with God the Father, each sign pointed not to a human being, a church, or an organization, but only to the Son of God and the Son of Man. You got that, class? At a wedding in Cana, at that John 2:1-10, I'm not going to read all that. Remember when Jesus turned his voice, turned water into wine? Now watch what explanation is given here spiritually. This sign marked the transition from the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist under the old covenant to the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah, under the new covenant and the kingdom of God. Let's abbreviate that. Let's say that in a way you can understand it. It marked a transition from the old wine to the new wine. You know, you can't put new wine in an old bottle. Now, that's a scripture. Scripture about tradition. The tradition of men have made the word of God of none effect. That's one. And then you can't put new wine in an old bottle. In other words, they can't handle it. They can't handle new wine. New wine includes miracles, signs, wonders, the supernatural, raising the dead, casting out devils. That's the new wine. See. And you try to put that in the old bottle, it won't work. So that miracle, there's another miracle. Jesus healed a nobleman's son in Capernaum, John 4, 46 through 54. There was a healing there that took place. Now this was a sign. This sign shows the importance of believing in God by faith in the authority of his word rather than relying only on his works. The authority of his word. I better look at this. John 4. Hallelujah. John 4:46, right? So Jesus came into Cana of Galilee where he made the water wine. Or he made the miracle there. It was the first miracle, the second. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, watch what he said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. See, believing take precedent over signs and wonders. Signs and wonders don't fully make believing, but believing makes signs and wonders. The nobleman said to him, sir, I ain't got no time for this. Now, what are you saying? Come down here, my child die. I ain't got time for go to all these spiritual things. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went away. And as he was going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. And when he inquired of him, the very moment that Jesus said, thy son liveth, is when his son was made whole. That's supernatural, isn't it? So this sign shows the importance of believing in God by faith in the authority of his word rather than relying only on his word. It marks Jesus' authority over the limit of space and time and over Satan and demon power and everything else. There's John 5, one of my favorite teachings on the lame man. Jesus healed a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Matter of fact, when Carol and I traveled to Jerusalem with Dr. Price and Betty Price, they had selected me as the chaplain of the bus. And then when we got down to the pool of Bethesda, the man was talking and turned and pointed to me and said, you pray. And so I had a chance to pray right at that very pool, the pool of Bethesda over there in Jerusalem. This sign, you know, the man was lame. He'd been laying there. And every time he tried to get in the water, somebody get in ahead of him. Jesus asked him, would he be made whole? And the climactic moment of the story, Jesus took him, take up your bed and walk. And he did. But let's see what it symbolized. This sign symbolized the need for people to leave behind the wounds of their past and to move forward in God. You see, he kept talking about what I tried to do. Ain't no time talking about what you're trying to do now. The pool talking to you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It marks their transition from that which had paralyzed them and was preventing them from experiencing the kingdom of God to new life as God's children. I can see that. Can you see that? Yeah, I can see that because he had gone through all these changes. And every time probably the blind man walked in the pool before him, he could walk, you know, and stumble in the pool. And he had the mobility. He didn't have the mobility. Jesus, you know, now everybody knows that Jesus fed 5,000. People with five loaves and two small fish. That's a miracle, isn't it? In John 6:1-3, y'all mark that. Study those things. And the author said this was a metaphor for becoming an instrument through which God can multiply provisions and spiritually feed the multitude. Had a young man talk to me today, and his wife, he never owned a home, and his credit is bad. And his wife, him and his wife are supposed to go look at a house, And he got a little afraid. He knew his credit bad. And he was talking to me. He said, I was waiting on you, man, so I can talk to you about this. I said, go for it. Walk through it, put your hand on the wall, walk around it. I said, don't go there depending on your credit. Go there depending on God's favor. Back and back many times, I went through scenarios that it was impossible for it to happen for me, but God was training me at that time, I'm your provider.
Yeah. Yes,
if you sincerely in love with God, if you set your heart, you believe in righteousness as a position, holiness as a conduct, and sanctification as a process, and you sold out, you surrendered and submitted to God and his kingdom. You're not perfect, but you love him with all your heart. He'll call things to happen for you that you dare not tell anybody because you can't explain it. And, you know, I told him, no, I said, we're not going to talk about this. Tell your wife, make the appointment, tell the people you want to see, walk in there like you're a millionaire. I said, what's the arrangement here? What it would take to move me and my family in this house? Now, at that point, God can talk to the owner.
Yeah.
And the owner said, I will help you get in this house.
Yeah.
Well, I got bad credit. That's all right about bad credit.
Yes, right.
I'm going to finance it.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, that happened. The man didn't end up too good. I had bad credit. And Carol and I wanted a double-sized trailer. Went up there talking to the man. I went up there talking like I had the money and all that. I just talked. And the man said, I'll finance it for you. He financed it. I got ready to move out. He got it back, too. See, I did it wrong. I ain't know no better. He got it back because I ain't want it no more. A house came over for about going in the house. I couldn't pay for the trailer in the house, so I just told him, come get it. And I ain't no great testimony, but don't y'all do that. It was in a learning process. But he did it for me. I know a girl here. Left here to go get a new car. No job. No credit. And she don't know how. She said, I got it. Look at the keys.
Yeah.
How you pay for it? I don't know how I'm paying for you. In feeding the 5,000, it marks Jesus' authority over the limit of quantity. You have to know that. See, all these miracle signs, one of them. All right, Jesus walked on water. And then John 16 and 21. This marked Jesus' authority over the element of nature. Jesus healed a man who had been born blind from birth by covering his eyes with mud. Then John 9. 1-7, you need to read through these. I read these so many times. This illustrates the limit of religious blindness and of the Pharisees' mentality. It demonstrates how the Son of God restores spiritual vision and has authority over human misfortune. See, when you know that and you minister to people, boy, you can help people, you know. Say, no, just like I told a young boy, I said, it ain't bad, it ain't all that bad. You're going to be all right. And when I left him, he was in hope. He said, man, God, dog. I said, yeah, you all right. Jesus rides Lazarus from the dead in 11th chapter of John. You read that story. This symbolized, we just celebrate that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he exercised dominion over death. He proved, he was showing his dominion he had over death. Now, what is a wonder? A marvel? Something that dazzled and amazed the spectators. Wonders are God's divine acts. In Acts 2:43, it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. When the church got in trouble in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira were playing with the finances, and they both dropped dead, Acts 5:12 say, after they declared that, many signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hand. What's the difference between a sign and a wonder? A sign is intended to appeal to the understanding. A wonder appeals to the imagination. I remember old Ben Carson, he's running for president now. I remember reading his book, Think Big. I had all my children to read it. Think Big. Your imagination is such a gift. I said, your imagination is such a gift. I said, your imagination is such a gift. And some of y'all don't use it. You're not going to be a walk with God if you can't dream big. I'm not talking about go do no foolish stuff, you understand? But if you get that imagination, what that thing was called? Yeah, I'm flying into, where we went last? Seattle. I'm flying in, my jet landing. I'm looking out the window. I see this huge, whale-looking aircraft. I mean with a big belly on it. And guess what they called it? A dream lifter. People getting stuff delivered to them all over the world, and we sitting around here think God can't do it. It's a dream lifter. In other words, I know what I got the concept that it carries dreams to people.
Yeah.
Jesus, God, I might use it myself one day. Might buy a car and tell him, put it in and fly it up here and drop it off in Baton Rouge. A dream lifter. Man, that turned me on because I know God.
Yes,
in that area, you see.
Yeah.
The purpose of wonders, such as the apostle performed, is to amaze people with the power of God and lead them to receive the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think the multitude kept following Jesus? Huh? Why do you think that so many were saved right after that lame man got healed? They saw the power of God.
Yes,
sir. I think that's the answer for church growth.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think I would have this church full if I was walking in the fullness of the apostolic anointing. All these years, and knew how to cooperate with the Spirit, with miracle signs and wonders.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm in the process. I have to train a remnant of people to receive enough of it,
yes.
And then we'll run this church over,
yes,
balcony and all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because when people hear that God's moving, see, just that moving that can't be not enough. It got to be a normal transaction in this church.
Yes,
you know, He heal them all. He laid them out with silver and gold, and there was not one sick person among them.
Right.
Now, for a few minutes, I want to talk about what is casting out demons. The casting out of demon is a visible manifestation of the presence of God's kingdom. Two kingdoms cannot govern an individual at the same time. Now, you had to remember, Jesus revealed that he cast out a demon with his finger.
Yeah, right.
Finger, you don't need his whole hand.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus had a way to tell you something on a slick, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need your whole hand. It was the finger of God. The casting out of demon implied the establishment of the kingdom of light and the displacement of the kingdom of darkness. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. And he has the power to cast out Satan. Remember that after his death on the cross and before his resurrection, Jesus descended into hell and took the keys of death and hell away from the devil. Revelation 1:18. He has given us authority in his name to defeat Satan. Write the scripture down. Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 18 through 19, there's the key. Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, the power of the enemy, do you no harm. You have authority to use his power.
Yes, sir.
Good God Almighty.
No,
I say you have authority to use his power.
Yes, sir.
His power is in his name.
Yes, sir.
Through faith in his name,
yes, sir.
This man walked before you and made whole, the third chapter of Acts. They asked, by what power? By what power? What name called this man to walk? See. Thus, when a believer casts out demons, it is the act of uprooting them from a body they control on the basis of the authority of Jesus has delegated to him and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now this is the Word, the name, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a combination. You got a hammer. You have a hammer on the Word of God. Huh? And then you have a revelation of the name of Jesus. See, that revelation includes his life, his ministry, his resurrection, his ascension, his right-hand position. That name include all that. His blood. Huh? See, those three things. Having a handle on the Word. Studying the Word. Studying to show yourself approval. Workman needed not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Know the Word of God. The Word of God will cleanse you. It will sanctify you. It will set you apart. It is called a sword of the Spirit. It can tear down the enemy's forces. All right? In other words, to cast out demons is to dethrone Satan and to stop his control of an individual, thereby allowing the light of Jesus to shine or that person and on that person and lead them to reconciliation with the Father. Them demon tie them up. This process makes the person who has been delivered an active member of the kingdom of heaven, taking him from death to life. You see that, Claire? The casting out demons is a miracle because it's a supernatural occurrence. In Mark 9:38-39, what it says? Mark 9:38-39. Hallelujah. So I'm glad I closed this class. You student by internet. This fall thing, you to fall right in place for me. But those of you who are graduating, I want you to leave with that under your belt. And the students come from next year, they'll come back and we'll pour more in them with that under their belt. That we have authority over satanic power. Yes, sir. And that miracles, signs, and wonders in the 16th chapter of Mark, Jesus said they're supposed to follow us. We don't have to follow them. Yes, sir. And when he talked about the greater works in John 14:12, you cannot do the greater work without knowing how to work the Word, how to yield to the Holy Spirit, and how to use the name. Yes, sir. And so an element called faith in the Word, faith in the name, faith in the Holy Spirit. Minister, not worth your salt if you don't trust the Holy Spirit, if you don't trust the Word, if you don't know how to trust the name. If the Holy Spirit has not given you a revelation or hunger for the name, or hunger for the Holy Spirit, or hunger for the Word, not just to have a Bible study, but that God can talk to you, that you can hear his voice for yourself. Once you heard that voice, no other voice will solve your desire anymore. No preacher, no teacher. Once you hear the voice of God for yourself, that's the only voice you're listening for. I don't know, you get ruined when you hear the voice of God. I don't know where, you just want to hear him. You know, a preacher up there just talking and giving a lot of information, and God ain't talking. We got a lot of that going on. Y'all gonna do that, just don't mention me. Don't ever say that. I don't even know what it is. I've never been there in my life. Just go ahead and lie. I pray for you. Because they don't mention my name. You got Mark 9:38. The sign mentioned in Acts 8:6-7 were visible miracles that happened instantly before the eyes of the witnesses. Now, watch this statement and read this statement, understand this statement. Miracles should be a normal occurrence. What? Healing, miracles, signs, wonders, and the casting out of demon are keys to expanding God's kingdom on earth. That is Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostle meant now. Now, as I was talking through the hand of the apostle, many signs and wonders were done among the people. As I was talking to the ministers that I'm training and submitted to my ministry, he said, first apostle, secondly prophet, thirdly teacher. Then he talk about gifts and he talk about government. That's talking about the pastor. We must not get in an argument like the disciple, who is the greatest. It's following divine orders. I mean, he specifically said, first apostle. So look at Satan, greatest. Let's cut him out. Let's just let him wear a towel. But don't have to have a noise connection. Because for a man to be an apostle, you got to have a lot of training. I'll tell you right now, I ain't going to lie to you. You got to have some training. You got to be been in the ditch. They buried you, stuck one hand up, and then you come on out, and you got buried again, and somebody shot at you 3 or 4 times with an arrow, bone arrow. You just don't tell me that I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. No. See, the Lord just reminded me, I think when I was training this morning, that I was trained prophetically. I was training a prophet. And I mean Harry Lyon training. He trained me in the midst of thousands, and 1,000 didn't get it. He showed me things. Now my wife, because she was connected to me, was able to see some of it. But they're meeting 20,000 people. He's only talking to me. He had signals he would give. When he preached here, he talked about a boy hitting a home run, and the father took his coat off and swinging the air and said, that's my boy. He was talking to me personally.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit told me that.
Yes, sir.
And so all the other fellas just jumping and clapping, they don't know he was talking to me. Sometimes boys get jealous, so you got to talk to them in a way in the spirit. The Jews required signs from men who claimed to be of God. Jew, you don't talk to a Jew. You know, and may I pass this by you to help you? Some of y'all about to leave the school. You're going to come back and visit, but I want you to get over this culture thing. I want you to get over being black. I want you to get over what happened to your ancestors and live now. I want you to get over inferiority. I want you to get over the texture of your hair, the size of your lip, or the color of your skin. The Bible recognized 3 people, Jew, Gentile, and Christian. The cure to any type of racism or inferiority is that I'm a Christian. That's it. I mean, and you know, it had a lot of white people march for our behalf. So if you get that old thing, you get the hating, this boy here is genuine. I trust him. Because his skin's different than mine. He's a son.
Yes,
and so just because some people did you wrong, don't be mad with everybody.
Right.
Now get over this culture thing.
Yeah.
You know, when slangs are made and statements are made, if you're in your culture, it's going to hit you.
Yeah. Right.
But if you're in Christ, it won't touch you.
Yeah.
I just tell you, that's a little extra there. That's a little extra there. And that better be apostolic. somebody be trying to put me out of my house tonight. Look at what the Jews did now. Watch this. The Jews required a sign from men who claimed to be of God. They did not acknowledge anyone as a prophet until they saw some demonstration of a supernatural work.
Yeah.
Every prophet in the Old Testament distinguishes ministry with signs and miracles.
Yeah.
We will never reach the Jews, the Muslim, with a gospel that lacks supernatural signs and wonders.
Right. Wow.
Should I tell him this? In the area where God has chosen to use me in the body of Christ for finances, supernatural finances, and then I experience a whole lot of supernatural finances, It draws people to me. My wife and I have Segways. That's that little thing you ride like the police car. That thing's $6,000 a piece. You know, $6,000. And we'd be the only one on the RV course got them. And so there are evidence something happening. And so when people get drunk, they get to drinking. They get drunk. Especially in white day, they get drunk. They come up, hey, don't worry about us. We've been drinking. What is that thing there, huh? Why y'all rented that from me? It didn't rent it, man. We bought it. I sure like that thing. The next day you see them, they're sober. They don't want to talk to you. My RV light up the whole park. It got different lights on it. So you got awning come out on the side. Mine's come out automatically. But on the end, they got light on the end of it. There's none out there like that. And so that draws people. And so what I do is I have new birth pamphlets, baptism with the Holy Ghost, would you be healed? And I'm looking for a signal about where to hit them. I think we got four saved the other day. Just by stuff. Drawing them to talk to us. See, God used all that. See, God made us in different ways, but and did different things for us. All right, let me close here. No man, watch this statement. No man move in the supernatural with a truth that does not exceed the common. Let me say it again. You didn't hear it. Yeah, I love it. No man moves in the supernatural with a truth that does not exceed the common. Everyone who operates in genuine miracles does so by revelation and revealed knowledge. In the present class of genuine revelation, there's no way to avoid the manifestation of miracle, which served to confirm that the revelation came from God. Did you hear that? Let me say that to you again. Now you got to hear this. In the presence of genuine revelation, there's no way to avoid the manifestation of miracle, which served to confirm that the revelation came from God. That's a powerful statement now. Likewise, in the history of the church, everyone who has ever moved in true miracles, signs, and wonders was obeying a revelation of God that was confirmed by his word. I don't know y'all here now, but y'all just listen. Y'all got to listen to this again, but I'm getting disturbed here now because that's powerful, man. And likewise, in the history of the church, everyone who has ever moved in miracle, sign and wonder, was obeying a revelation of God that was confirmed by his word. Now look at the last verse in the 16th chapter of Mark. What does it say? And the Lord working with them and confirming his word with signs following. So signs, miracles, and wonders confirm that God's word is the highest thing that exists. Most school class teach you how to preach, they say. But they teach you how to make outline and give information. Okay. Your outline must be a revelation. It cannot be information. The Baptists used to make the, when you go to a Baptist convention, they had them preachers that had stacks of sermon. You can buy them. You know. And you, I mean, and then you, I've seen people practice to preach. These men and women left their legacy on earth. They were pioneers who went ahead of their generation in order to teach his members to do the same, as well as to transfer their legacy to the next generation. That's us right there. When God has raised up men and women with revelation, their name are often associated with the power in which they are operated. Watch this now. A long time ministry, didn't know nothing about this man. How many of y'all, any of y'all, now don't you have to hold your hand up and try to be wise, because you can't learn, that's a dummy when you do that. How many of y'all know anything about William Seymour? Y'all don't know about him, right? I never heard the name before, right? Talk to me, Claire. You don't know nothing about him, no? Huh? He was a black man who led the Pentecostal movement. He'd sit on a bucket and preach. He'd sit there till God say something to him. And the name William Seymour was Azusa Street, associated with revival and miracle. Now, the white man took it from him. A white man came and let him speak, and he thought he was going to speak on his behalf. And he spoke against him. And the white man's problem was, he's trying to protect the white woman from the black man. Y'all get scared. Y'all don't know. Y'all never tell the truth. That's his problem. That's their major problem. And so in doing that, I think Seymour said something about a white woman or something, and they had to shut him down. They want to shut him down, and they got messed up. How many of y'all heard of A.A. Allen? He associated with miracles and saved souls and many more. I mean, I call F.F. Barworth, you know, Brother Hagin. Old Rob was a man nowadays. Fred Price. John the Baptist, let me close. John the Baptist declared Jesus to be the Messiah in John 1:29. Then later, doubted this truth. Are you the one, or do we look for another? Notice how the Lord answered him, though. He said, tell him the dead is raised, the lamb is walking, the blind see. And that's what you gotta have, you gotta continue in the faith. John got thrown there. The thing to admire here that Jesus did not answer John's question regarding whether he was the Messiah, but listing his many personal achievements about telling John how good or how holy he was. Rather, he recounted all the supernatural work God was doing through him. These works confirm his identity as the true Messiah. Awesome. That's right. That's a word for it. Awesome. I remember I marked this in my office. I took one of the marker lots and mark it. Supernatural works should be our credentials as Jesus followers. Say that back to me. Supernatural works should be our credentials as Jesus followers. Because, see, it's not you trying to make a miracle happen. It's you following a revelation of the word that has to be confirmed from heaven. My word will not return to me void, but they will accomplish Isaiah 55 and prosper. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I watch over my word to perform it. So my word need a miracle. If you speak in my word and my word need a miracle, I'm going to see that it happened. That's why you can't leave the word out. That's why you can't go to this new type of preaching. You know, preaching these stories, you know, and narrating them. If there's such a word, dramatizing and getting you all on the edge of your seat, you know, just talking to you, serenading you, say, whoa, God. And they got some guy can do it, boy. They can do it. Then they put Jesus, they drop Jesus in on the end. Because they're ready to holler. Now they're going to holler, you see. All right, class. Here's my statement to you, and I'm going to close here. When people criticize, persecute, judge, or doubt our ministries, and calling, we should respond with evidence. Signs that prove that our ministries and calling come from God and that we belong to Him. How many of y'all graduating this year? How many of y'all marching this year? Stand up. Don't y'all leave this school and never come back. It's an opportunity for you. Well, you've been coming anyway. It's an opportunity for you to come and sit in these classes. These classes are not ever the same. These guys been graduated, but they come back all the time. These are some of these girls, too. They come back all the time. And those watching by internet, you all have been good students, no doubt about it. I mean, the school, we haven't had no fanaticism, no craziness in the school. That is great. I tell you, my ministry is like that, though, because I don't put up with that craziness. I'll get crazy with you, you know what I'm saying? There's somebody come to some senses, somebody. But I speak blessing over you. I don't know when we get a chance. I speak blessing. I encourage you to all these guys, the classes that you went through, and the young lady who's teaching you. I know they poured their heart out. And so just lift your hand. Let's lift your hand. Let me talk to you. And so I speak blessing over you today. Y'all come from good churches, and I love your pastors. And just stick with the lesson you've been taught, and always ask God for wisdom. Always ask Him for direction; He'll give it to you. Father, I just bless these students who've been here for the whole. They didn't only start, but they're finishing. I thank you that a divine impartation now, through your glory, enter into their bodies, their mind, and their hearts, and the affairs of their lives, their loved ones, their home. I pray because they came here and sat these many hours under the word of God, that their lives would never be the same. I ask you to open portals of heaven, gates, doors, windows, over their lives, over their families, over their mates, husband, wife, whatever. I thank you for them. I thank you for giving me the privilege and my team the privilege to minister to these men and women. I thank you that they got a bright future. I thank you the calling on their life, that some of the things we may have said to them will be right there as a light to them, and that every door that need to be open in their life will be open to them, and they'll walk in it, and they'll know what to do. Use them in your kingdom. We thank you. We break any power around their life that's been hindering them. In the name of Jesus, the things that I taught them tonight, God, may it happen. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Casting out demons. They know your name. They know your word. They know the Holy Spirit. May their lives be blessed forever. I thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. You got to go to your other class now. Got another class, isn't it? Yeah. I'll see y'all at graduation.